Hello, everyone. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I am especially excited about our gathering tonight because, as I'm sure will share, it's been an interesting day filled with lots of lessons, good lessons. So before we begin, let's do as we usually do and come into a place of silence together. Pausing from whatever it is that we might be doing, and if we happen to be driving, just listening while maintaining alertness. Turning our attention within to our tiny willingness. That willingness might feel big, or it might feel like a little speck. And even if it's a little speck, that's all we need. Sensing that willingness and offering it to our inner teacher, Holy Spirit, our right mind, and asking to see the truth, asking to know the truth. We want peace, we want happiness, and that's our guarantee. All we have to do is be willing to let go of all that we've put up in between. And we are willing. This holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we place Spirit in charge tonight by our request. With the love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. All right, so for those of us who are listening to the recording, we are in the Sparkle Edition on page 443, the paragraph that begins with, "Do not accept this little fenced-off aspect as yourself." That corresponds to Course in Miracles Society, the original edition. It's chapter 18, part 9. paragraph 77. I lost my place for a second. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, that is chapter 18, part 8, paragraph number 7. Just as a reminder, I'm reading from the Sparkle edition. If you happen to be following along in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, I think you might notice a couple of paragraph breaks that are different. So if I pause mid-paragraph for you, that's just because that's where my paragraph ends. So we've been reading in this section. In the Sparkle edition, it's called The Purpose of the Body. In FIP, it's called The Little Garden. We've been reading about how this sense of small self is like the smallest sunbeam to the sun, or like the faintest ripple on the ocean. And it says earlier in this section that in its amazing arrogance, this tiny little sunbeam has declared it's the sun. Our perception is so narrowed and limited that we think that we are this separate self, when in fact, we are wholly connected to truth, to love. We can't exist apart from God. It's impossible. So God is everywhere and throughout everything. So we'll start this paragraph with this sentence, "Do not accept this little fenced-off aspect as yourself." This is talking about this tiny idea of a separate self, this little tiny sunbeam or this little ripple in the vast ocean. Do not accept this little fenced-off aspect as yourself. The sun and ocean are as nothing beside what you are. The sunbeam sparkles only in the sunlight, and the ripple dances as it rests upon the ocean. Yet in neither sun nor ocean is the power that rests in you. Would you remain within your tiny kingdom, a sorry king, a bitter ruler of all he surveys, who looks on nothing, yet who would still die to defend it? This little self is not your kingdom. Arched high above it and surrounding it with love is the glorious whole, which offers all its happiness and deep content to every part. The little aspect which you think you set apart is no exception. So this little thing, this little sense of separate self that we think is separate is not. It's in that glorious whole. And it's really funny that I actually almost started chuckling mid-paragraph because Paul was encouraging me before we started recording to share my lesson-filled day, because I'm sure we can all relate to this, and yet here it is in this paragraph kind of describing in different words what it is that came up. So I'll go ahead and share right now. This idea of this small self and this tiny kingdom, this sorry king, this bitter ruler of all he surveys, and who would die to defend it. So here's my example. I'm going to try to give you the most succinct version that I can. I recorded a video blog twice, and both times there ended up being some issue where I didn't feel like I could use the video to publish that. And I was frustrated because, as you can imagine, recording video blogs takes a lot of work. There's setup involved, and it's a lot of work. And I had to stop, so I felt really discouraged. I felt almost like all my energy just drain out of me, like I can't believe this didn't work again. And I had this thought previously, the first time, and it came back. Maybe I'm not supposed to share this message, or maybe there's something here that I need to look at more closely, and this is why it's not working out. And sure enough, guess what? Spiritual ego was sneaking in there. And what I mean by that, that's one way of saying it. It's just ego. But in this video blog, I was talking about conflict and seeing through our own lenses, and I gave a specific example of other people that I witnessed in a conflict, and it happened online. I was an outsider, although the whole conversation was stemming around something that I was involved in. So it wasn't directed, the attacks weren't directed at me, but they were just sort of out there, directed in general to this event that I was involved in. And I had seen this attack back and forth, this lashing out, and I saw somebody, a peacekeeper, chime in to try to bring some peace to the situation, and that person got attacked, even though I perceived what that person said as peaceful. In sharing that example in this video blog, I realized that I was judging the judgers. So those people in that situation that were doing the attacking, I was essentially attacking them, not, you know, I wasn't saying it with like attack words, but I was essentially saying that essentially that they were wrong. Again, that wasn't my direct words, but I was attacking the attacker. I was judging the judger. And so there was like a faint sort of air then of not owning my own part in seeing this conflict happening from the first place. Because what I realized when I stopped and looked with Holy Spirit, which was painful, to own that this conflict was somehow coming from me made me really mad. it really hit some really deep nerves. And there's a lot. We can judge the judger all over the place right now, especially in this political climate with anything that you're seeing on the news, things that we see that are wrong, that are happening out there. It's all opportunities to judge the judger. And funny thing, when I was like looking at this with Holy Spirit, a family member calls in attack mode, giving me another opportunity to judge the judger. So there it is, my choice for ego. Now, all these witnesses, or this, you know, this example now is like popping up to give me another chance to judge the judger. I didn't take the bait, although I did a little bit after being hung up the phone by saying something to my husband. How subtle is that, right? How subtle that we can use judgment to make ourselves right. We can say that person judging is they're wrong for judging, and that makes me right. That makes me, you know, the sort of more innocent victim. And looking at all this really pissed me off. I started like being short with my husband and having just this anger come up, and I had to stop and say, okay, I'm getting really angry. What's going on here? The ego hates being examined. It hates being looked at with Holy Spirit under a microscope, and that's exactly what I was determined to do. So in that willingness to look at what was happening, I recognized, again, here is my own shadow projected outwards. Here is the judgment and the attack in my own mind that I'm seeing out there, so I can point the finger and say that it's out there and then not, you know, and then be the innocent one. And also what came up was just tapping that if that attack is in my mind, if that judgment is in my mind, guilt came up. There's our unconscious guilt rising to the surface. So it became an opportunity for me to look at that with Holy Spirit, to ask for the miracle instead. My peace came back. Here I am, happy to be here. And that is this sentence: would you remain within your tiny kingdom? So do we want to keep using judgment to judge the judger, which then solidifies our sense of separate self? And do we want to still die to defend this? Meaning, am I holding my perceptions? You know, do I want to be right so bad that I'm willing to just like defend, like, no, I'm innocent, they're to blame? Do I want to keep this pattern going? The ego, absolutely, and that's why it made me so angry to look at this. But this was a big learning, and so I'm sure the next time I shoot this video, it's going to be a totally different message, number one, but I'm sure that it's just going to be fine the first time that I do it, because I was being prompted to go deeper. So I hope,
Corinne,
that makes sense.
Could I add something to this, because I think this is
Please.
Appropriate. I came across something this week that has just, It's just so helpful, and it's a prayer to shorten suffering. Holy Spirit, help me forgive myself for using blank, okay, to separate myself from your love. Teach me the right perception. That one sentence. So what happened in that situation that you were involved in really has nothing to do with anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's that whole meaningless, those early workbook lessons where he talks about my meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. The only problem that we have is this willingness to separate ourselves from God's love.
Mm-hmm.
And the ego will use anything. So I started watching this. I really started watching my thoughts during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, 95% of the time I could apply that sentence to what I was thinking. Because I felt myself go into separation so much. And using the most benign, the most ridiculous things, what people said, what people did, what, the cat, you name it,
yeah.
Anything, anything that would tick me off, I could apply this sentence to. And I wound up with another little bout of shingles because the ego hates this. It wants us to be separated. I think I started to become internally frustrated with the amount of opportunities that I was taking to separate myself from God's love. So then I started using it. Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using shingles to separate myself. And the shingles are 100% better. I mean, I am... It's amazing.
Mm. Paula, I'm so glad you brought that up. I'll go quick and then you, Paul.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
That prayer is from Nook Sanchez. We've definitely talked about it here before, and I'm so grateful that you brought it up because that's everything. Help me to forgive myself for using blank, whatever, whoever, to attack myself and separate from your love. That is just, I'm so grateful that you brought that up because that's absolutely perfect. And I love how you said that this gives us, you know, we're all the time, we're looking to separate in the smallest, smallest, subtlest little ways, that if we're not looking with 100% radical honesty with spirit, because the ego doesn't want us to look at it, it can easily be brushed aside. So good for you for taking everything.
It's just, I was ready to hear, because now that you say it, of course you've said this prayer before. Yes, of course. I was never really ready to hear. So there's a readiness that's a part of it.
Yeah.
So it's really a part of the process with the Holy Spirit.
I love how you just said that too, because I've been experiencing that for myself. I came across a quote from William Blake. I'm going to be sharing it online soon. I know I've seen it before, but it's getting me now when I'm so ready and getting it on such a different level. And you're absolutely 100% right that it's that readiness, that experiential, that experience that we have that just really brings this to life.
But
it
really comes down to you can never get it wrong. There's all,
right.
Any of it is just, I'm so grateful to be open to this now, to be open to this prayer to shorten suffering, because it really works.
It does. It does. And you just said another important thing that I just want to highlight, and that's gratitude. Can't we be grateful for what's coming up, because it's coming up because we're ready to look at it? So the ego can't, it doesn't know gratitude. So if we can go into gratitude and just be so thankful that whatever's coming up is coming up because it's an opportunity for healing, for seeing it differently. Thank you. Ooh, this is good stuff. Paul.
I was just going to say thank you to both of you for bringing these things up, because, of course, I had a feeling that they would be very similar. And I've had a lot of that come up this week with judging. With the political climate and going back and forth, you know, trying to look at it with spirit, but then falling into the ego and getting sucked into different conversations and feeling defensive. And I actually had like a health situation come up. And until Paula said that, I actually did not put two and two together. But I have a feeling that's why it came up. And I'm glad she mentioned that prayer again, because I haven't used it for a while, but I used to use it and it is very, very effective. But yeah, and even tonight, like I decided, I just cannot watch the debate.
No, I'm not going to either.
Like I have to choose spirit, and it, I think it starts now. And I'm like, okay, this is a really interesting example. I can either choose the call, or I can watch this thing that's going to get me sucked in. And I chose the call, and I'm glad I did. And everything you guys shared has been so helpful already.
Can I ask you guys a question? This is Leslie.
Sure, Leslie.
Yeah, so what I'm wondering is, okay, so ultimately when you, as you start to, you know, see through this correct perception or through, you know, a true perception, then does it mean that those experiences no longer need to arise because you've learned the lesson, or is it that they continue to occur but you perceive and respond differently?
That's a great question. And I don't know that my perception is cleansed enough to be able to tell you which one it is, if I'm totally honest. I think from what I have experienced, from what I've heard others describe, I immediately think of a spiritual teacher called Peace Pilgrim, which we've actually talked about on the call before, and she used to say how there were times when she was tested, but eventually those situations didn't happen anymore. And the Course is teaching us that miracles collapse time. They collapse experience, so we don't have to go through something that the ego set up for us. And actually, that I have experienced that. I'm not saying that it's that way all the time. And I think we all on the call have experienced this, where I wish I had a specific example for you, but I had an experience once with my mom. Again, you know, the issue, whatever the issue was, fell away so completely that I can't remember what it is. And my mom had a dream of, if you've heard of the Akashic Records before, the course actually references the records. I don't think it's I don't know if it's in the FIP edition or one of the earlier versions, but it's believed to be referring to the Akashic Records. And my mom had a dream that this page of mine was just blanked out. Like either the page was ripped out, I don't remember, that I had learned my lesson, so I didn't need to go through that anymore. Mm. So I do believe very much so, and I think we've all, this all resonates with us, and this is what the Course is saying, that, you know, miracles do collapse time, they collapse matter. We don't have to go through what the ego has set up for us once we start consistently listening to spirit. But in the meantime, it might be that it does still come up and that we do therefore, you know, have another opportunity, or we just don't get as hooked. And I have seen that in my own experience where things do come up and they don't affect me the way that they used to, with anxiety being like my prime perfect example, where, you know, health scares, my chicken, I have pet chickens. One of them has it's called Bumblefoot. Poor little girl got a splinter and now it's infected. And it's a staph infection that people could contract, actually. And in the past, I would not have been like anywhere near that chicken. And then today there I am, like, you know, trying to help her out and bandage her foot and stuff. So the fears, you know, don't have the same grip as they used to on me. So I hope that helps answer the question. And if anybody else
definitely
has anything to add,
thank you.
Great. You know, great. If anybody else has anything to add, please jump in.
I have one example that, and believe me, there's not that many examples, but I used to be a smoker and I really smoked a lot. And somewhere along the line, and I was always trying to give it up, but somewhere along the line, somebody said to me, "Why, you know, turn each cigarette, don't try to stop smoking, just turn them over to the Holy Spirit. Every time you light up a cigarette, turn it over to the Holy Spirit." I started doing that. I wound up with bronchitis for about a month. It was not bad. I mean, I could work, I could function fine, but I couldn't go near those cigarettes. Within a month's time, it was as if I had never smoked in my life. I stopped smoking, and believe me, I had tried so many times before, and I always had that desire, and I always went back to it. That the Holy Spirit just took it. He took it, and I don't even have recollection of doing it. So that to me was really quite, you know, that was quite miraculous.
Yeah,
but like Corinne said,
I love that story.
Yeah, but like you said, sometimes, and some of these things that we hang on to really turn out to be the very thing that catapult us to the next level of understanding.
Yes.
And working with
how
the Holy
true
Spirit.
Is that?
So you can't, you
how
just can't get it wrong. If
yeah,
you keep
yeah.
with the Holy Spirit, you can't get anything wrong.
What a relief, right? What a relief.
Can you say the prayer that Paula just said? Can you say it one more time, Corinne, so I can write it down?
Yeah, sure. I have Paula and I might have a slightly different version. The one that I have is, Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using blank to attack myself and separate from your love as my holy self.
And separate from your love?
Yes, as my holy self. So Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using blank to attack myself and to separate from your love as my holy self. Was that essentially what you had, Paula?
That's exactly
it. That is it. Okay, great.
Go
ahead, Paula.
I did add one thing. Help me to, wait a minute, the cat, of course, has to be sleeping on this thing that I wrote down.
She knows it.
Got to be a part of
good.
This. She was, I added, teach me the right perception. Because that's always the problem. You know, the thinking is the problem. Give me a better way to look at this, whatever it is.
Awesome. awesome.
Thank you.
I just wanted
Thank
to say
you.
That I also have it written down on a card because I remember you sharing that with us, Corinne, and I wrote down Nuke Sanchez.
It's so good, right?
Yes, it is. And thank you so much, Paula, for the reminder, because everybody keeps talking about the political climate. And I was talking to my husband. I was heated this morning, and I was like, I have never in all my life, like, even been connected with politics. It's just not been anything. I mean, I'll be honest, I do vote, but it's not anything that I gravitate towards. And I'm still not gravitating towards it because I didn't even know there was a debate tonight. I'm like working to like focus on, you know, what brings me happiness, what brings me peace.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm praying that the rest of the world does that too, because that's really what, you know, what's that saying? What's that song? All we need is love.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Definitely. So Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using Donald Trump and or Hillary Clinton to attack myself and separate from your love as my holy self. That is the prayer.
And how cool is that? I mean, if that is, Paula, you were saying something about sometimes, you know, you need to be catapulted into something. Mm-hmm. If the whole country can get into this prayer, wow, just think about that
right?
one.
Yeah, if we could be as focused on that prayer as we are on Donald Trump. Whoa.
Right, and that's a good reminder for us because we now have this choice. You know, we now have the choice to turn toward this prayer and seek not to change the world, but to change your mind about the world as the Course is teaching us. And so this is always an inside job. So the best thing, again, we can be inspired to act in certain ways, but the best thing that we can do is to allow the fear in our own minds to be undone, to have our perception cleansed, to have true perceptions come to us, because that's the greatest gift that we can give.
That's such a good point,
others.
Too, because when I have made the right decision to turn, the most profound things will come out as opposed to just arguing or defending a point. And so sometimes it is just to not watch the debate or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's to say something, but if you turn to spirit, it's a totally different experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's also that, you know, really wanting to be this body, it keeps you in the body. It
mm-hmm.
keeps you.
Yeah.
You,
know? Mm-hmm.
you
yep.
want the drama, the stimulation.
Yeah.
So what? So the Holy Spirit is always there, and we can always turn to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will always undo the consequences of our wrong decision if he will let us.
Yeah. So true.
If we will let him. See how the ego gets right in? Turn it upside down.
I'll just share this quote really quick. Was that you, Deidre? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was.
You're up next. I felt moved to just share that William Blake quote that I had referenced earlier. He said, "If the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to man as it is, infinite." And that has just struck me. I've been like, that's just been on my mind often throughout the past couple of days. If the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to man as it is, infinite. You know, he was not studying A Course in Miracles because it wasn't around then, but he, you know, we all get this in our own way, our own time. So anyway, that's all I wanted to share. Deidre.
I just wanted to share really quick, because you just shared a few minutes ago the quote from the Course about seek not to change the world, but choose to change your mind about the world. I had my text open to that exact quote, and I had it on my mind just as you said it. And it just really gave me the chills because, I don't know, in this discussion that we're sharing about tonight, I'm just reminded so much about, you know, so many of David Hoffmeister's teachings about, you know, the world is fine. There's nothing wrong with the world. It's what we make the world mean without knowing we're making it mean something. So there's nothing that needs to be fixed. It's simply that shift in perception or that miracle.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Thank you for that, Deidre. That's awesome. So think about fixing the world. That seems like it would take an eternity, right? If you think about all the layers of problems that the world has and fixing it, you know, trying to do something problem-solving apart from spirit, that's again, staying in the ego plane, right or left or straight or back, versus going vertical and experiencing those miracles instead, asking for those miracles that fix our perception and undo those errors in an instant. And Deidre, I'm just so grateful that you shared that you were thinking of that quote and had it open when I said it, because there is the example. We are of one mind.
Yeah.
And so by doing this work, we are helping others, because there's only one mind. Mm. I love that. Yay. All right, so 37 minutes later, shall we read paragraph number 2?
Yes.
Here we go. Love knows no bodies and reaches to everything created like itself. Its total lack of limit is its meaning. It is completely impartial in its giving, encompassing only to preserve and keep complete what it would give. In your tiny kingdom, you have so little. Should it not then be there that you would call on love to enter? Look at the desert, dry and unproductive, scorched and joyless, which makes up your little kingdom, and realize the life and joy which love would bring to it from where it comes and where it would return with you. That little kingdom is this world. It's this sense of, you know, separate self, and I think that this paragraph is a beautiful reflection of just what we just talked about. Call on love to enter. Give it, or another way of saying it, let's give it to Holy Spirit. Let's read the next paragraph too. The thought of God surrounds your little kingdom, waiting at the barrier you built to come inside and shine upon the barren ground. See how life springs up everywhere. The desert becomes a garden, green and deep and quiet, offering rest to those who lost their way and wander in the dust. Give them a place of refuge, prepared by love for them, where once a desert was. And everyone you welcome will bring love with him from heaven for you. They enter one by one into this holy place, but they will not depart as they had come, alone. The love they brought with them will stay with them as it will stay with you. And under its beneficence, your little garden will expand and reach out to everyone who thirsts for living water but has grown too weary to go on alone. I feel moved to keep reading. Go out and find them, for they bring yourself with them. And lead them gently to your quiet garden and receive their blessing there. So will it grow and stretch across the desert, leaving no lonely little kingdoms locked away from love and leaving you inside. And you will recognize yourself and see your little garden gently transformed into the kingdom of heaven, with all the love of its creator shining upon it. The holy instant is your invitation to love, to enter into your bleak and joyless kingdom, and to transform it into a garden of peace and welcome. And I'll pause there. So how beautiful is this idea of a garden? And this is the experience of being happy rather than right. This is the experience of remembering to turn to Holy Spirit, of that page 90 prayer that we've referenced so many times. I must have decided wrongly because I'm not at peace. I made the decision myself, ... That prayer has that instantaneous effect. It calls forth that holy instant to just suspend all of our judgment and just let our perception be restored to love. And that is growing this garden, going from the desert to a lush and restful and peaceful and happy garden.
You know, Corinne, as you were reading that, the Hawaiian prayer came to mind. Mm-hmm. And because it's a little too, that is such a big concept that in my small mind, I could never really grasp it. But reading these two paragraphs is what that's all about.
Mm, yeah. And the Hawaiian prayer, you're talking about the I love you, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Forgive me, thank you. Yeah, yeah.
That's it in a nutshell, you know?
Yep. And this idea of coming, it says, you know, they enter one by one, but they won't leave alone. If you think about it, I mean, I can speak from my own experience. When I began the course, coming into this with a really, a really fixed sense of self and slowly learning how we are all connected, that it's impossible for us to be separate from one another. We're realizing that more and more as we allow our perception to, you know, expand, our awareness to expand. That came up for me as we were reading, just thinking about how we come into this with that fixed sense of small self, and then we start having those experiences of the capital S self in which we are all connected. So we cannot be lonely or alone in that.
And that really goes back to the very beginning of what we're talking about here with this prayer to speed up suffering, because it can never be about anyone else. Nobody can possibly be guilty. The only problem that we have is the separation, is projecting all of this craziness out onto others.
Right.
To separate ourselves from the truth of who we really are.
Right. Well said. Well said. We have one problem, and it's separation. Bam.
That's it.
That is it.
Corinne,
can
you repeat what you said, that how we become aware that we chose to lose our peace? I think you said there was something about that we made a choice.
Was I referencing the page 90 prayer that I must have decided wrongly because I'm not at peace? Is that it?
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's a beautiful prayer. I am saying page 90 because it's page 90 in the FIP, the Foundation for Inner Peace, but it's like an instant reset button.
Okay.
It's I must have decided wrongly because I am not at peace. I made the decision myself, but I can also decide otherwise. I want to decide otherwise because I want to be at peace. And this is a big one. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. I choose to let him by allowing him to decide for God for me. So that if that's what I said, I don't exactly remember.
Yes,
this is just a really great, quick
thank
prayer
you.
To say. Yeah, to remember that if we're experiencing any lack of peace, it's because we decided wrongly. And so here's a recent reset button to bring us back to back to peace.
Okay.
Awesome. Anybody else have anything coming up?
I just will quickly say, Corinne, that it's amazing just listening, like Paula talk and you and the experiences that I've had today. It's like you guys are giving answers or affirming what is saying in this book by just the examples that you're talking about. And like when Paula was saying that, you know, whatever is that obstacle that's in the way for anybody, it's like usually what catapults us into the next phase, you know, of consciousness. And I'm paraphrasing. Sorry, Paula. I know you said use some different words. I've started this kind of mindfulness meditation group with Tara Brock, and one of the goals of this group is to build connection, and to look at what are the blocks to connecting to others, and you know. Really in your meditations to really look at that. And, you know, I've struggled with, like, certain family members, one in particular who's my sibling, who's just a few years younger than myself. who's, you know, battling addiction and going back and forth, but yet such a lovely human being, and yet so confused, and my desire so to fix him. And so when I was doing this meditation and coming, like looking at my aspirations of what I want for this relationship, which was non-judgment, forgiveness, unconditional love, all those things that I really, really have a difficult time because I'm constantly judging him and wanting him to be okay so that I'm okay. So I had been doing these meditations and whatnot and feeling like, oh, yeah, this is really great. I'm feeling like I'm getting what Tara's talking about. And so, but I got into fear, and I didn't realize I got into fear because of something that my sibling said last night. And this morning I called him thinking I'm calling from a place of love, but it was from a place of fear. And my words were okay, but the energy wasn't. And he must have picked up on that because at the end of the call, he said, you know, I'm going to take some space away from you. And I was so hurt, and I was like, this is crazy. And I was coming from a place of love. And I was, you know, so I went on a walk, and I was talking to Holy Spirit. And you know, it took some conversations even with my husband where he was saying, you know, well, what was your intention? What was your intention for the call? And I said, was it coming from a place of love or fear? And it was fear. And that's what my brother had felt. And then as Paula said, you know, it's those things that sometimes catapult us to the next level. This is what my brother said, too, in his infinite wisdom. He said, you know, sometimes when you stop a person from going through their process of what they need to go through, you lengthen the time that would perhaps take, it would take a shorter time for them to get there. And when Paula just said that, it was like, oh, my God, that's so true. And this is what I've been doing all these years, you know. I don't know if that any of that made sense, but I felt like all of you guys were talking to me this afternoon. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing. You made perfect sense, and I just really appreciate everything that you shared, and you're hitting on a really important point that we often disguise fear as love.
Mm.
One of the most common ways that we do that is by worrying about another person. Like, oh, you know, I love you. I don't want anything to happen to you. That's actually fear. That's actually not love. That's actually fear disguised as love. So the fact that you could see that is huge, and that then becomes that opportunity for that miracle, for being, like Paula said, catapulted into the next, you know, level of awareness. So thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
Wow. We have a little bit of time left and only three paragraphs. So let's finish up, and we'll keep talking about it. I think I'm on love's answer is inevitable, right?
Yeah.
Love's answer is inevitable. It will come because you came without the body and interpose no barriers which would interfere with its glad coming. In the holy instant, you ask of love only what it offers everyone, neither more nor less. Asking for everything, you will receive it. And your shining self will lift the tiny aspect which you tried to hide from heaven straight into heaven. No part of love calls on the whole in vain. No son of God remains outside his fatherhood. Be sure of this. Love has entered your special relationship and entered fully at your weak request. You do not recognize that love has come because you have not yet let go of all the barriers you hold against each other. And you will not be able to give love welcome separately. You could no more know God alone than he knows you without your brother. But together, you could no more be unaware of love than love could know you not or fail to recognize itself in you. You have reached the end of an ancient journey, not realizing yet that it is over. You are still worn and tired, and the desert's dust still seems to cloud your eyes and keep you sightless. Yet he whom you welcomed has come to you and would welcome you. He has waited long to give you this. Receive it now of him, for he would have you know him. Only a little wall of dust stands between you. Blow on it lightly and with happy laughter. Blow on it lightly and with happy laughter, and it will fall away. And walk into the garden love has prepared for both of you.
Mm. That's beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm.
So a few things I'll just briefly highlight. The paragraph we just started with, love's answer is inevitable. The course isn't joking around. That is to be taken literally. Love's answer is inevitable. Paula said it before. We can't get it wrong. Everything is leading us to the awareness of the love that we are, if we're willing to let it be so. I love how it says it will come because you came without the body. So just that openness of the idea, that openness to the idea that we may not be bodies, that there is perhaps something more to this than the body's eyes tell us, is making that space for the awareness of love to come in. I wanted to highlight, in case fear came up for anybody, in this same paragraph that I'm just referencing now, it says, and your shining self will lift the tiny aspect which you tried to hide from heaven straight into heaven. Now, this tiny aspect that we tried to hide from heaven, again, that's talking about the sense of separate self. We sort of, you know, took a little piece apart of heaven and said, hey, I'm going to be this little separate body here. And I just wanted to highlight that because, again, through the eyes of the ego, and it's important to note if any fear arises when we're reading any of this, if there's a sense of, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to lose myself, or I'm afraid I'm not going to know myself, or I don't want to be whisked away. I think I had shared in previous calls that I used to be afraid if I aced the course that it meant that I was going to get whisked away. And that was just a reflection of fear in my own mind of my desire to stay separate, to use this idea of, you know, reality or truth as a means of keeping me listening to the ego. So if any fear arises with that, just noticing it and being willing to look at it with spirit. It's also refreshing, isn't it, when it says you reach the end of an ancient journey, not realizing yet that it is over. This is where the miracles have already been given. Every answer we ever needed, it's just been, you know, it's the one answer of truth. And it seems to be ongoing because it seems to be that Holy Spirit is separate from us, which it's not. But this is all done already. And so we just need to accept that the miracle has already been given. We just need to accept that the healing has already happened, if that makes sense, because it has been done already. So I'll stop talking there, and I just want to see if anybody had anything come up. Questions, insights? Any sentences stand out to you? You all can still hear me, right? Just making sure I'm still there.
This was a lot tonight,
good.
Corinne. This was wonderful
tonight.
This is like I'm processing over here. Like a lot was said that just really.
I thought everyone has switched to the watching debate.
No way.
We are still here.
Oh my god!
But you're right.
I'm not
Paula.
That advanced.
It
yet.
Is. It is a lot to process. It is a lot to process, and yet we can just. We don't even have to process it if we can just be.
Yeah.
Right? If we can just drop into this feeling of connectedness and love that is there, stepping into that experience, you know, getting out of our heads, just being in that, like, let's just hang out there. Join me there.
You know, this Donald Trump thing has really, in a way, in my mind at least, I know in my heart that God loves Donald Trump, and that's all just the lower mind operating there. And, mm-hmm. you know, like Paul said before, you kind of get sucked into it. Work, people talk about it, and it's just in the ethers. And it's really been interesting because I know I can't go there. I can't hate that man.
Yep.
It's not about him. Once again, it would just be using him to separate myself from God's love and from feeling good and from having a peaceful, happy day. Why would I do that?
That is beautiful.
I've heard a story how a woman went into a restaurant in the U.S. With her friend, another woman, and with their husbands. Okay, so it was four of them. And her friend, this woman's friend, a woman, she was like a model. Okay, she's tall, she's absolutely beautiful, gorgeous, dressed and stuff like that. And so they went into a nice restaurant, and this friend of her, this like model-like woman, she ordered and ate two full meals, and then she ate dessert, and then she finished all of the desserts that others haven't finished. Okay? And so this woman looks at her and says to her, "Well, I hope you realize that we are not friends anymore, right?" And this woman smiles to her and says, "You know, food is my friend." And this woman says, "Well, it hates me, yeah? It hates me." So, and it's kind of a nice story, and I've been thinking, because, you know, so many people, my girlfriend, you know, she's right at the moment when she puts something in her mouth, she already hates herself. She already is projecting already that it's going to be 4 pounds in your measures, yeah? 4 pounds in her weight, okay? So she's hating herself, the food, the weight, she thinks she's ugly, okay? And all kinds of nice thoughts immediately. So she cannot even enjoy the food. Okay, so, and I've been thinking about this story for several days, and then suddenly I realized, like, politicians are my friends.
Yeah.
Politicians are my friends. You know, car drivers on the roads, those terrible guys who wait to cut you on the road, you know. They are my friends. They all are our friends. Can you imagine? And Course in Miracles has a big, big thing on this theme of giving and receiving. Yeah, to give and to receive are one in truth. And especially this workbook lesson 108, to give and to receive are one in truth. 108, and it asks us to say this. To everyone, I offer peace of mind. To everyone, I offer gentleness. To everyone, I offer peace and happiness. And, yeah, just think of everyone as our friends, because, you know, you talk about your politicians, but I'm in Russia, okay? And Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, they are just flowers compared to politicians here, you know? But...
You aren't literally in Russia, are you?
Mm-hmm.
You're not calling
literally,
from Russia.
Yes. I'm calling from Russia, yes.
Are you really?
Yeah.
It's early morning. It's early morning, Monday morning for me, so the debate is already over for me, you see. I skipped it. And so... just wish happiness, because really, no matter who you are, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, or Vladimir Putin, we all want happiness. Yeah, it's the universal goal we all want. So why not be happy? At least offer, because when we offer it to others, we offer it to ourselves, right? Thank you.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Corinne, you brought up gratitude at the beginning of the call, and I. What you said about gratitude was so powerful, and I just wanted to share with you all, because most of you know that I live in Canada, and it's Thanksgiving weekend this weekend. So I just wanted to say how grateful I am for this call and for all of you every week. And, you
how
know,
grateful we are for you.
Yeah. So I love you all.
Oh, I'm so grateful. Thank you, Deidre, for saying that. I feel that, that gratitude is mutual, and it goes between all of us. So, wow. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
So thanks, everybody. We're at the top of our time. You know, sit with this. I had the thought occur to me that this might be a helpful call for folks to listen to who are course students who kind of want a shift surrounding politics right now. I was thinking maybe, you know, usually folks access these calls through my website, you know, the archives, and sometimes I'll send out like one here and there, and I usually ask everybody ahead of time if that's okay. So I'm putting it out there to see if this might be a call that might be okay with you to share, really with just my email list, I think, because it could just be helpful for those of us who are looking to, you know, get unhooked from the election. So just sit with that. If you aren't comfortable with that, just let me know. I'm not going to do anything right away. But and if you don't want to, that's totally fine. I can just archive it as normal. So
I don't care.
I'm so grateful. This has helped me so much. So
me
much.
Too.
Oh, thank you, everybody. Have a great
thank
night.
You.
Have a great
thank
day.
You.
Bye-bye.
Love you
thank
all.
You. God bless
bye-bye.
You.
Love you all.
Bye-bye.
Amen.
God bless. Bye-bye.